I'm glad that all of you understand that during our worship, there's freedom. If you want to sit, sit. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to raise your hand as a sign of praise to God, then do that. If you want to clap, however you want to respond to God's love and his kindness to you, then I am glad that you see that you're free to do that. And we don't judge. We don't look down on somebody because they're doing one thing or another, or we don't look up to somebody because they're doing one thing or another. It's all good. In the scripture, you'll find many different expressions of worship. Standing, kneeling, sitting, bowing your head, lifting your head up. There's almost every kind of experience that you can find in scripture. So welcome to Oak River. We are glad you are here. And if you're a guest with us, we welcome you as well. My name is Sandy Phillips. I'm the lead pastor here at Oak River Church, but I serve with a team of elders and ministers, so I don't serve alone by any stretch of the imagination. And we hope you enjoy the service today. I can tell you what we're about in four words: loving God, loving people. That's what we're about. That's what we're all about. Our mission is loving God and loving people. And if you would just take, if you're a guest, take maybe 60 seconds and take the back of the connection card that you received in your program as you were walking in. And if you would look on the back of that, it says, "My First Impressions." There's a box at the top. We would really like to know what you think about your experience at Oak River today, and it would help us if you would take just a few minutes or seconds and fill that out. And then when you're done with it, if you would take it back to that table where you see all the red gift bags, give this card to somebody back there. They'll trade you in with a gift bag that has a yummy homemade carrot cake in it, and I know you'll enjoy that as well as some other stuff. Today, I'm excited to announce that we had a new baby born this week at Oak River. There he is. You know, Shauna, the trumpet player? Yeah, she was very pregnant last week, wasn't she? All the ladies were going, "Oh, I remember that." Adam James Babcock, 9 pounds, 8 ounces, 21 3/4 inches long. No wonder she was so big, huh? That's a big baby. She gave birth to a toddler. And then he was born at 12:14. Mom and baby are doing very well. They're coming home today from the hospital, actually, if all goes according to plan. And so we just wanted to share that bit of good news with you. Also, I wanted to let you know we are passing out postcards today for you to give to any friends or neighbors or family. If you have a business, I'd encourage you to take about 50 of these and put them in your place of business. How many of you heard that Forbes.com voted Cleveland the most miserable city in the nation? Yeah. So we said, well, we're going to just play with that a little bit, right? So on the front, it says, "Most miserable city." We don't think so. And on the back, it says, "You may have heard by now that Forbes.com has decided that Cleveland is the most miserable city in the nation." We couldn't disagree more. Sure, our winters can be long and brutal. Hallelujah, first day of spring yesterday. Nobody loves spring like Ohioans, right? And yes, our unemployment is higher than we would like, but that doesn't make us miserable. At Oak River, we are discovering that Jesus really did come to give us a rich and satisfying life just as he promised. John 10:10. That doesn't mean we all have idyllic families. We're not all working our dream jobs with comfortable salaries. In fact, some of us are currently unemployed. Not one of us is perfect. However, we are finding joy, hope, and peace in God that lasts through any circumstance. Woohoo! We invite you to come this Easter and meet some people who are far from miserable. Some have accused us of being downright happy, even in Cleveland. What do you think? You like it? So as you're leaving today, the ushers will be passing those out, and I would just encourage you to take as many as you'll give out. We're going to be mailing out, in addition to what you give out, we're going to be mailing out 12,000 of these next week to Solon and Aurora. And, you know, we've prayed over them, but if you would pray over them as well, that would be wonderful, because I believe that this is going to go into the hands of people who need to read it. Does that mean nothing bad ever happens to anybody in this room? No. We all have stuff that happens that could make us miserable. But the card is right in that we have discovered that Jesus really did come to give us hope and peace and joy no matter what we're going through. So I'm excited about that. Now, today we're continuing our series called River Dance. It's the third week in the series, River Dance, and today we're going to, the title of the message is There's More Than Enough. There's More Than Enough. I am so glad that with God there is never any lack. There's more than enough in His river. Point number one, if you want to follow along on your note page, there's one in your program there. If you don't want to worry about it, that's fine too. But that just helps you know where I'm going and where I've been, and all the answers will be given up here. So it's an open book test, basically. Number one, God takes care of the earth from His abundance. God takes care of the earth from His abundance. We find that in Psalm 65, 9 through 13, it tells us this: You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. Now, as we read through this, I want you to notice how many words talk about plenty, talk about rich and plentiful and bountiful. Think of how many synonyms are in here. You take care of the earth and water it, making rich and fertile. The river of God has plenty of water. It provides a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. You drench the plowed ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest, even the hard pathways, even the miserable places, if you will. What does it say about overflow with abundance? The grasslands of the wilderness become a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. They all shout and sing for joy. Is that not a picture of abundance? I mean, over and over, you saw how many words there referred to the abundance that God provides from. There's plenty. There's not lack in God. There's not lack at all. There's plenty, plenty, plenty. God has this never-ending reservoir of good things. Completely never-ending. Point number two, God has given us everything we need for godly living. God has given us everything we need for godly living. Did you ever get a phone call on your cell phone and the phone rings and it usually says one of two things, either accept or reject, or answer, ignore? Did you notice that? Maybe your cell phone says something else. We have a chance when God calls us and says, I have everything you need. We can either answer it, press the answer key, or we can press the ignore key. And that's what happens sometimes. He keeps calling and calling and calling and says, I have everything you need. I have everything you need. There is no lack in me. I have everything you need. And what do we keep doing? We keep pressing the decline button. No thanks. Ignore. Maybe later. Reject. And He calls and calls and calls. And sometimes it's just never enough. You know, He just keeps calling. We find that in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. Says this, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. So if you don't know Christ, no, you don't have everything you need. You get everything you need by coming to know Christ, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Don't keep hitting decline, 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 because it could be that if you do that, God is going to pull out something bigger. Instead of the phone call, he's going to say, okay, let me get your attention in a little bit more. Well, that got her attention, didn't it? Kailana was like, whoa, what was that? You know, he will get our attention. And at some point, we need to press the accept button instead of the ignore button. We need to press the answer button instead of the no thank you button, instead of the reject button. Continuing on, verse 5, supplement your faith. Some versions say add to your faith. A generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for all. Talk about abundance, huh? There is a lot of stuff mentioned in that passage you're supposed to add to your faith. Verse 8 says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I think it's like this. I think we're given a bowl of faith when we become a Christian. And it's full of faith. There's water in here if you can't tell. See? And I believe that that scripture is saying to us, you know what? Yes, keep your faith, but add to your faith some moral excellence. What is moral excellence? It's doing good things. Doing excellent things. Whatever you do, do it with excellence. And you see, this sponge by itself, apart from faith, might serve some purpose, but not very much. How many of you know people who are good people, but they haven't added faith to their moral excellence? And it can only go so far. You know, it just can't take you where you need to go. But if you put it in your faith, it gets soaked by the faith. And then to your moral excellence, add knowledge. What is knowledge? I looked it up in the Greek, and it means an understanding that leads to a change in behavior. An understanding that leads to a change in behavior. So add to your faith. Don't just leave your faith faith, but add to your faith moral excellence and knowledge. And get that soaked in there. And then add to that self-control. Oh, that's a hard one. You see what a process this is, though? It's a process. It's not like I can dump everything in at once and then everything's all right. It takes time to figure out self-control. And sometimes I think I got it figured out, and other times I'm like, I still have a ways to go on that one. Self-control. Soak that with your faith. Soak it with your faith. Patient endurance. Don't forget to put patient endurance to your faith. It's not giving up when everything in you screams give up. That's what it is. When every condition around you makes you want to quit, patient endurance says, you know what? Because of my faith in God, I'm going to trust that he knows what he's doing, and I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to endure until some of this somehow can make sense. And it might take some time. In fact, in my life, it always takes time. Godliness. What is godliness? Having the attributes of God. Now, it's already says in that scripture, he's already given them to us. He's already put his divine nature inside of us. So we have to put those in our faith and let them soak. And let them soak for a while. And then kindness. Brotherly affection. Also known as kindness, because I couldn't fit brotherly affection on the sponge, basically. Kindness. I think Christians should be the kindest people in the world. I do. I think we should be extremely kind to each other and to those who are not of our faith, but get it soaked in faith for it to mean something. And then love. Loving God, loving people. Get it soaked with your faith. You see, because I've known people who can do these things for a while, but they get dried out fast, you know? But if we keep it soaked in our faith and whatever we pull out, self-control, wherever self-control goes, water goes. Faith is evident in our self-control. It's everywhere. You can't stop it. It's so saturated into the sponge that wherever you take the sponge, people don't see the sponge, they see the faith. And that's what we're supposed to live like. That's how we're supposed to be. That's what that whole scripture is talking about there. Point number three, God grows more than enough fruit in our lives. God grows more than enough fruit in our lives. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, but the Holy Spirit, who produces this? Do I produce this? No. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. I have a little 56-second video clip to help share some joy with you. Ready?
Do the evil eyes. Give him the evil look. Do the evil eyes. Give him the evil look.
Hello, hello, there we are. I just read this week that a 20-year study was finished recently, and it covered 4,700 people. So think about the scope of this study. 20 years of research following 4,700 people. And you know what they found? Joy is contagious. When you saw that, you couldn't help but laugh, right? It's funny. It made you feel good inside because they were laughing. And I love the fact that he figured out how he could make them laugh, and he was doing it just because he wanted to make them laugh, right? Joy is contagious. In fact, this study found that it's so contagious, it's actually contagious to 3 degrees of separation. So if you have a friend of a friend of a friend who has joy, you are likely to be positively impacted by that joy and become more joyful yourself. So you look around in this room and you take that out to 3 degrees of separation. Every person who knows you, who knows someone, who knows someone who knows you. Wow. That's how contagious our joy is. In fact, you get more of an increase of joy from having a friend of a friend of a friend who has joy than if you got a $5,000 raise. The study proved it. I'd like to test that one out. I don't know. Isn't that interesting, though? 4,700 people, 20 years. That's a long time. The fruit of the Spirit is like that. It is contagious in our lives. But here's the thing, gang. You can't put an apple tree in your yard, plant an apple tree, and then go out there and scream at it, grow, 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 to make it grow. What do you have to do? You have to water it. You have to get the bugs off of it. If there's ever bugs on it, off of it. Get the worms off of it. Get all the creatures that aren't supposed to be on it, you know, off of it. Got to make sure it gets plenty of sunshine, plenty of good conditions, and then over time, that tree will produce the fruit that it was designed to produce. And some of us, we read this list of the fruit of the Spirit, and I've been one of the worst culprits. I read love, joy, peace, patience, and I go, I'm in trouble. Yep, I'm in trouble. I don't have that stuff growing in my life like I need to have. And something must be wrong with me, so I'm just going to give up and quit trying so hard, you know? And I don't think that's the point of this scripture. I don't think God gave it to us to make us feel guilty if we don't have one of those things growing. I think he was saying to us, look, the Holy Spirit will do this in your life. All you need to do is provide the right conditions. And what does that look like in your life? For me, that means doing a daily devotional every morning where I spend time reading the Word and journaling about what I read and praying to God. And for me, that means listening to music that feeds my spirit and helps me to grow and turn my focus on God. For me, that means doing anything that I do with a conscious awareness of God in my life. What does that mean for you? Only you can answer that. Only you can answer what the right conditions are. For me, it means being involved in a church fellowship where people can encourage me when I'm down. People can pray for me when I need physical healing. People can speak words of life to me when I'm feeling not lifeless. That's what the right conditions are for me. What are the worms that might come along? I don't know. I know what they are for me. I have to deal with worms and bugs. And we figure those things out over time. And little by little, God starts growing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in our lives. So what I did for you, I put a list on your note page there of a scripture that goes along with every fruit of the Spirit. We're not going to read those today, but what I want you to keep in mind is that if you come to a point this week when you go, wow, I remember Sandy talking about kindness being one of the fruit of the Spirit, and I was not very kind just now, then I want you to go to the scripture listed under kindness, Psalm 145, 8 through 17, and I want you to read it out loud. And what it talks about is that God is the source of kindness. God is the source of every one of those. You see, there's more than enough in God's storehouses. There's never any lack in his storehouses. There's plenty of all of those fruit in God's storehouses. And so instead of me trying to manufacture it, you got to be kinder, be kinder, be kinder, be kinder. That's like saying grow, 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 grow. Doesn't work. Go to God and say, God, I saw a lack of kindness in my life today, and I know you are the giver of all good gifts, and I know there is no limit to your store of kindness, and so I ask you to help me access it today. You think, Sandy, that's so simple. Yeah, it is. It really is. Very, very simple. Does that mean you become perfect? No. No, because every time you see a lack, it drives you back to your Creator, where you go, okay, God, I need you to grow this fruit in my life. I can't do it on my own. I've tried. But there is more than enough with God. There is more than enough. Point number four, God lets us drink from his river of delights. And I could not do this message without including this point, because I just found this fun, to be quite honest with you. Psalm 36, 7 through 9 says, how precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. You know, I don't know what all is in God's river of delights. I'm really glad I don't. Because if I did, it would be boring. It's almost like an adventure every day that God shows me another delight in his river and he lets me drink from it. there is more than enough. There is more than enough. Does that mean if you're sitting here today and you're going through a hard time, you're like, things are hard in my life right now. I'm unemployed or this, I'm experiencing this grief or I'm in this situation that's really bad. Does that mean you don't have a river of delights at your disposal? No. In fact, this is going to sound so strange, but in the hardest times of my life, I have found access to the river of delights much easier. Much easier. Because I'm less distracted by the delights of this world. Does that mean I want hard times? No. No. But somehow your focus is more intensified on God's river of delights when some of the delights that we think are so wonderful around us are shut down. We go, oh yeah, oh yeah, you are the river of delights. There is more than enough. There is more than enough in God's river. More than enough. We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about these things that we're supposed to supplement our faith with. There's more than enough. It's like a cornucopia, you know, this massive cornucopia of good things that God has for us. And all you have to do is go to Him and access it. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've never really entered into a relationship with God. And so what I'm talking about sounds foreign to you. But at the same time that it sounds foreign, there's something stirring inside of you that goes, wow, I want access to those kinds of things. I need access to those kinds of things. It's really very simple. It's not complicated. You go to God and you say something simple like, God, I believe that you are God and I am not. And I believe that you have good things for me. If I am just willing to surrender my life to you, then you have all of this for me. God, I know you love me and I love you as much as I know how to love you, but I want to know how to love you more. Something simple like that. Boom. You're in the family of God. And you have access to God's more than enough, every bit of it. Does your life become perfect? No. But it becomes really good. It becomes good on a level that's deeper and higher and wider than you've ever experienced before. Let's pray. God, I thank you for every person sitting here today, and I thank you, God, I thank you that there is always more than enough in you. And in my own life, when I have experienced lack, that lack has a way of pointing me to your river of delights. Whether those delights are peace, or joy, or this deep confidence that you will work out all things according to your plan. Whatever the delights look like, sometimes it's just the sound of the laughter of a child like we saw in the video, and that just is a delight. And so God, I pray that you would help us to draw nearer to you as the worship team sang today, to draw nearer to you so that we can get closer to your more than enough, so we can get closer to all that you have for us and know that you take great pleasure in sharing with us. You don't withhold. You don't dole it out in tiny little portions. You generously provide for us in the same way you generously provide for the earth. And I ask you to make yourself known to anyone in this room who is questioning this morning. Make yourself real to them right now. Speak to their hearts and help them to know that you are who you say you are. Amen. Well, thank you for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the message. I hope it touched you. Sorry about that. If you did make a decision to follow Christ today, you've never made that decision before, maybe you had and you just renewed that decision today, if you would take your connection card and put on the bottom of the front, My Spiritual Journey, check the correct box, because we like to take these and pray over them every week. We have a group of ladies group of people who come together and pray every Thursday at noon. If you want to join us, you're welcome to do that Thursdays at noon. And we pray over every card that comes in. And if you have a prayer request, there's a place on the back also. Just fill it out. And then when you fill this out, you can either take it to the guest table or drop it in the box behind Willie there. Willie, wave at us, would you? The tithes and offering box, if you could drop it in there, that would be great. And we would be happy to pray over that for you. Okay, thanks, John.